So our text for this morning's meditation is from our gospel reading, these words of our Savior, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there's no way that we can be merciful. We can show mercy to another human being unless we acknowledge or admit or come to the realization from the very beginning that person certainly does not deserve, yes, they do not deserve our help. I mean, if that were not the case, if the people to whom we show mercy were not somehow indebted to us in some way, that is, they were not in a position from which they morally could ask nothing from us because of what they had done to us, then our actions toward them, they wouldn't be merciful, would they? For what is mercy? What is mercy? Simply put, mercy is when we treat someone, a neighbor, as they don't deserve to be treated by not justly demanding that they suffer. They suffer in some way for what they have done to us, physically or monetarily or socially or psychology, you name it. Years ago, when I was working in my friend's pharmacy in Denver, Colorado, I watched as a teenager got mad at a gumball machine. He put a quarter into that machine and the gumball had not come out. And so what did he do? Did he tell my friend at the counter whose dad owned the pharmacy? Did he ask for his money back? Or for a gumball from some other place in the store? No, in anger he slammed his fist into the machine, the clear part of which was not plastic, it was glass. And the glass broke, cut his hand, cut it deeply, and blood started coming out of his hand quite quickly, dripping on the floor. I was stunned. But I was about 13, and my initial thought was, ha, you got what you deserve. But my friend immediately ran over with bandages and helped stem the flow of blood. Now, if we were talking karma or yin and yang or you got what's coming to you, it would have been easy to have just kicked the guy out of the store for damaging the gumball machine, destroying it really, and ruining the rest of the gumballs within it, making a scene. But that's not what my friend did. My friend was merciful. My friend helped him, even though he in no way deserved it. So realize how mercy is different than just the expression of love. In love, we do all sorts of things for other people, encouraging them and helping them and supporting them and in general always being the best we can for them because what they do, how they live, how they speak and are is appealing to us. You know, it meets our approval. It is as we see the world, that is how it should be. There's no way difficult at all to love such people. Also, we should not get mercy mixed up in our mind with the helping of a stranger in some way. For in helping a stranger, we're not being merciful. We're just helping someone that we don't know, helping them with what we're able to do. For example, my son Gabriel and I once changed a tire for a lady in the Walmart parking lot over here some Sunday afternoon in the middle of January. We didn't know her, she didn't know us, but it was obvious that she needed her tire changed, and she didn't know how to do it, and we knew how to do it, and we were there, and so we changed her tire. That wasn't an act of mercy. It was an act of service, we could say. Why the distinction, the splitting of hairs, perhaps? Because our love for our neighbor, our service for our neighbor can stop. It can stop in an instant if we come to the realization that they don't deserve our love, that they don't deserve our service. In other words, our expression of love stops when our neighbor does something that's wrong, something offensive, something sinful, even hurts us. And what is more is if they are suffering in some way because of the sin that they have committed, who are we to alleviate that God-sent suffering in some way. They are getting what they deserve. But mercy demands that we think a different way. Mercy demands that we act in a different way, that we love in a different way than the situation calls for. Yes, someone has indeed destroyed some gumball dispenser aspect of our lives and is suffering for it, yet mercy demands that we act, that we love, that we serve, that we help, even though there's no reason that we should, other than the demand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that in fact we be merciful. And it's not as if we ourselves don't benefit from mercy, from the mercy of God, our Heavenly Father. His mercy expressed in our lives every moment of every day. For God, our loving Heavenly Father, knows everything about us. Nothing is hidden from Him. Nothing. God knows what we think. God knows what we feel, what we say, what we do. And if for even a moment God ceased to be merciful towards us, we would cease to exist. And we would cease to exist because the sins that we have committed throughout our lives and continue to commit daily are worthy of nothing, nothing but death, non-existence. We don't deserve the love of God, not in any way, shape, or form. We deserve punishment. So the only way we do live, the only way we can live, is if our Father in heaven is merciful. It's if He's merciful towards us continually and doesn't treat us as we deserve to be treated. But how can God be that way? How can God be merciful toward us? Well, as I noted last week, God can be merciful toward us because He was not merciful toward His Son. In fact, toward His Son, Jesus Christ, God, our loving Heavenly Father, showed no mercy. And our loving Heavenly Father showed no mercy toward His Son by placing upon Him the guilt of all the sins that we commit. My God, why have You forsaken Me? Is how the very Son of God described the Father's lack of mercy toward Him. Treating the Son of God, Jesus, in a way in which He did not deserve. Having Him endure the punishment that we, in fact, deserve. He was crucified for our transgressions, we read in Romans. But then we also read these words. And raised for our justification. So He was crucified for our transgressions and raised for our justification. That's interesting. That is the fact that Jesus was raised for our justification. For if Jesus, our Savior, suffered death for our sins but was raised again from the dead, thus creating the situation in which we are justified before God, that is considered to be righteous and holy before Him, God, our Heavenly Father, can love us as those who don't need His mercy. That is, He can love us as His sons and daughters, as those He can love, for we, through faith in His Son, Jesus, are indeed righteous. We are indeed holy, walking in newness of life. That is the life from which we emerge from our baptism in which to walk. Our sins are forgiven daily and constantly through faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So why then? Why do we sing every Sunday, Lord, have mercy? Or, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Or, Lamb of God, You take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Why are we still pleading for the mercy of God? That we not be treated as we deserve to be treated. Because through faith in the crucifixion, death, and resurrection life of Christ, we're justified before Him and have peace with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why do we still ask for God's mercy? Well, it's because we still have this thing called the old Adam attached to us. That old Adam which is not going to stop bothering us until we die. And what do the actions, the thoughts, the ideas of the old Adam do within us but cause us to what? To doubt and to fear and to wonder about our status before God. So we cry out in faith. Cry out acknowledging that, yes, we in fact need mercy, the mercy of God, and He responds, I am merciful. I will not treat you as you deserve. I punish my son for what you have done. I forgive your sins. Go in peace. Live in peace. Be at peace. Our lives then as Christians, as believers in Christ, our Lord and Savior, are lived, we could say, under the umbrella of justification, opened and remaining in place, a gift, this spiritual umbrella of justification, because of the mercy of God. And so we too are to be merciful. We're to be merciful to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to be merciful towards our family and our co-workers and friends. And what does that mean? It means we don't treat them as they deserve. Now think about that for a moment. In expressing mercy towards someone, we're not ignoring their sin. We're not overlooking their sin. We're not explaining away their sin. Or in any way not understanding what they are doing or saying or thinking to not be sinful. But we're still loving them. Still loving them in spite of their sin. And we're helping them. Mercy should then in no way be confused with condoning sin or celebrating sin or diminishing sin or dismissing sin, for the only way we truly can be merciful is if we acknowledge that there's sin in play. And that's really the hard part, for what would we rather do? We'd rather ignore sin. We'd rather ignore the road of hell our friend may indeed be on, ignore their thoughts and speaking and action that are hurting those around them and themselves. No, mercy is expressed and can only be expressed when we acknowledge that there is indeed mercy. That is an expression of love that is in no way deserved. Here our old Adam and our new man can find themselves frequently duking it out within us. The new man crying out for mercy. The old man for vengeance, for judgment, for damnation. Why? Let's be honest here. There's been times in our lives when it seems like we have experienced everything but mercy. Suffering at the hard-heartedness of others. We've steeled ourselves throughout our lives, coming to an understanding of the world in which since we have suffered for what we have thought or said or done, it's only right, only fair that others should suffer as well. Well, hear the hissy fit of the little child, which is our old Adam. It simply has to be ignored. For as in mercy, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We as Christians must die for our neighbors. We as Christians must die for our neighbors. That is, our old Adams have to be put to death daily so that we too can express the mercy of God that we ourselves enjoy. Is that easy? No, of course not. That's why love, the love of God that we ourselves as Christians are to express, is not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in the wrong, but in the right, bearing and believing and hoping and enduring all things, as we read in 1 Corinthians. Why? Such love shows mercy. And in showing mercy is loving that which should not be and should be something else and brought to be something else and become something else. That's why love, the merciful love of Christ, must bear and believe and hope and endure all things. For if it doesn't do so, it's not love. It's not merciful in the least. But simply a desire of the old Adam was found someone he wants or wants to be like. Now the world would that we not be merciful in our love, but simply love the world, love all the ways daily it injures and exploits and suppresses and demolishes and destroys the goodness which is the love that God our loving Heavenly Father actually is, would have us express. In short, the world would that we desire that which is evil, and it calls that desire love. That's not difficult. Certainly we'll get nothing but support if we do what the world wants, loving the latest, the greatest alteration and disfigurement of what love truly is. So the love of God in the world, love which truly is love, it must be merciful. It is, in fact, the only true love that is possible. It's the only true love that is possible as long as we live in the fallen creation, in these end times. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.